This is the Charisma News on the Charisma Podcast Network. One daily news story, well told. I'm Taylor. Hello, and welcome to the Charisma News Podcast. Until January 11th, we are doing a special interview series called New Year, New Voices. We want you to hear directly what the Holy Spirit is doing around the world, straight from the mouth of nine up-and-coming leaders from the next generation of charismatics. I'm Taylor Berglund. I'm the associate editor of Charisma Magazine. And today in the studio with me, I have Jesselyn Lancaster, our online news director. Jesselyn, how are you doing?
Oh, I am just peachy.
Fantastic. Well, it is January 2nd today.
We're still writing 2018 on everything, though.
Yeah. We're still getting used to writing 2019 down here.
We will do that until July, let's be honest.
But what better way to ring in the new year than with a really cool interview with an up-and-coming leader that you guys should know for this coming year?
Yes. So this episode is my interview with Jeannie Ortega Law. And I heard of her growing up. She was a pop star. She had actually been signed to a label to be kind of the bad girl of the label. And talking to her now, that's kind of weird because she's the sweetest, nicest, kindest person. And she just does not have a persona that I would interpret as someone who is like mean and sassy.
Yeah. And for the record, she has an incredible testimony
Absolutely.
Here that you're going to hear with Jesselyn.
I don't want to give a whole lot of tidbits away.
We don't want to give anything away, but there are some plot twists along the way in this testimony.
Let's see. There's witchcraft. Uh-huh. There's getting signed to a major record deal. Mm-hmm. There's a complete Holy Spirit conversion in the middle of church.
Yep.
And just completely life-changing things after that.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg. So we're going to let you guys hear that entire interview coming up. That's from our January 2019 issue of Charisma. If you want to read the full story, you can go to shop.charismamag.com to get that issue there. But for this interview, we're going to let it start, Jesselyn's interview with Jeannie, after this message from our sponsors. When Robert Morris started Gateway Church with the support of Jimmy Evans, his heart was to feed God's sheep and to help other pastors and churches to do the same. Now, more than 18 years later, Gateway has grown to over 39,000 members and is impacting the world through Christ-centered teaching, ministry, and missions. If you're a pastor or church staff, God's call is on your life, but that doesn't mean that ministry and church administration is easy. Let Gateway Church's resource network help your ministry by giving you the tools and support that you need to have a greater impact in your sphere of influence. Visit gatewaynetwork.com today to learn more.
Welcome to the show. My name is Jesselyn, and today I'm here with Jeannie Ortega Law. Say hello, Jeannie.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for having me, Jesselyn.
Yes. We are so excited to have you here today. You are one of the people in our New Year, New Voices feature. And so you actually right now work for TV and Salsa. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So I host a television show. It airs 6 days a week on TV and Salsa. It's called In the Mix with Jeannie Ortega. And I like to highlight people in movies, music, media, and ministry that are using their gifts for the kingdom of God. And
Amen.
It's called In the Mix because, like, you know, we have these gifts and we don't have to use them for God, but these are people who are mixing, you know, what God has given them to use it for his kingdom.
I love it so much. Now, one of your gifts is being a fantastic interviewer, which I'm a little bit intimidated by. I'm not going to lie to you right now. But maybe we'll be comrades. Maybe we'll be pals. But can you tell me a little bit about how you got into this? Maybe how you got to know the Lord?
Sure. It's a long story, and I'll give you the cliff notes. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. Back when I grew up, in the neighborhood that I did, it was a rough neighborhood. So I couldn't really hang out outside because of the violence and the danger. And then inside, it was a hard growing up, you know, situation to grow up in as well on the inside because life, you know, is life. And my parents mm-hmm. didn't know the Lord, and I dealt with violence and all of that as well.
Didn't you also grow up with a strange religion that mixed, like, witchcraft with Catholicism?
I did, yeah. So, I mean, that's a whole other thing because that wasn't really in my home, but it was in my aunt is like a high priestess in Santeria, which is it's witchcraft. It's like the Latin version of witchcraft. Ooh. Or phobia, which is what Caribbean people call it. Yeah, so that was in my mom's side of the family. And that was kind of, I was being groomed from as early as I could remember to kind of take my aunt's place and be her, the high priestess when she's gone. So I was kind of, that was kind of the upbringing in terms of religious beliefs. Yeah, it was Catholic as well, which I still don't get. I can't wrap my head around how that religion thinks that Catholicism or God is okay with it, but whatever.
It's a little weird, but keep going.
And, you know, but I had kind of the in the beginnings of understanding that there was a God, at least, you know, and I needed there to be a God because of the violence outside, the violence inside. I needed there to be an outlet. So as from as young as I remember, I was always crying out to God. But I didn't know anything about relationship. I didn't know about the redemptive power of Jesus, the saving grace of God. I had no idea of that. So it was just, that was my outlet to cry. And then I started to get suicidal thoughts as young as 7 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that's when the Lord used music. And I didn't know it was in the Lord. I didn't know, you know, anything about God, but I clearly... I know he intervened by using music, and it wasn't Christian music. I didn't even know Christian music existed. But he used music to kind of get my attention and help me kind of just cry it out and realize that music has power and that there is an outlet.
Amen.
So what happened was I was just like, you know what? I want to be a singer because music has power.
Amen.
It has power to help people feel better, and I want to do that.
That's what happened with David and King Saul.
Yeah, exactly. And it was exactly that same thing. I became this person who just constantly was letting everything out into music. And then fast forward a couple years after that, because I was determined. Once I knew music had power, I was just, this is what I'm going to do. My focus went from growing up as a child being groomed into Santeria to I have a goal. I'm going to be a famous singer. I'm going to help people feel better. And I started to really actively work towards that. How can I, you know, reach people? I was going to my neighbors' houses. I was knocking on their doors with my karaoke machine. Can I sing for you?
I love it. It was that serious.
And I did that for many years until I finally was discovered. This is the craziest story, but it is 100% true.
I love it.
I was discovered in a taxi cab in New York City. I was singing along to the radio, and the cab driver was also a limo driver. And he pulls up by my house, and it's me and my mom, and we're doing grocery shopping, and he's like, hey, you're beautiful. He was kind of creepy, but he was like, you're beautiful, and you have a great voice. Like, do you sing? Are you a singer? And I was like, yeah, I'm totally a singer. You know, I'm from New York, and we're going to, like, I'm letting him know, this is what I do. I have a demo. I do all of this. And he's like, well, Disney, your demo, I drive around famous managers, and I'd love to give it to somebody. And yes, lo and behold, 2 weeks later, I got a call from a major manager in the secular pop industry, and that was the beginning. From about 13 till 16, I was working with these top of the line, I mean, you would know their names if I told you, pop producers, and they were kind of grooming me now. I went from being groomed in Santeria to being groomed to be like this kind of pop version girl from the hood of Kesha.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I can't compete. I love Kesha. I'm going to be straight up. I really do. But I can't picture you and Kesha in the same genre. That's just, it's a little odd to me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely a little bit more street. So it was Kesha, but like the hood side.
Kesha thinks she's straight, but she's not.
Kesha went to the hood. But basically, that's kind of what happened. And I got a record deal before that, I just said, hey, I write. You know, my whole heart was always to write, but when you get involved with people in the industry, they try to silence your voice and make you what they want you to be, you know, their little puppet. So the whole Kesha thing wasn't working for me. And I said, hey, I write. Let me write. And finally, when I did write, that song was picked up by Hollywood Records for a soundtrack. And yeah, they wanted to sign me. And then at the age of 16, I was signed to Hollywood Records, to Disney Subdivision Record Company, and I went from a girl in the hood to a girl in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a top 25 Billboard hit. I was touring with Rihanna. I was doing all these things that a little girl from where I came from could only dream of.
Mm-hmm.
And quickly forgot that I wanted to make music to help people. I became a product. I became a brand. I forgot, not even that I forgot, I was being groomed a certain way. And they tell you, the people have, they got to want to be you or they got to want to be with you. And I'm obviously saying it very PG because that's not how it was said to me. And I was a teenager, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of how it started. And I started to do music. And I mean, I don't even know if you know that part of me, but my whole life up to a couple years ago was just solely music. But in the midst of my pop career, God got a hold of me.
Mm.
I was invited to a Christian church. I had still been feeling the same things about inside of my home. Although I had money, although I had all these things, nothing had changed. I was still a broken little girl. And I couldn't make my parents stop fighting, and I couldn't make my friends, you know, really be my friends and not be jealous of me, and all these things that I had no control over. And I was faced again with, you should just end it all.
Mm.
And now I'm you know, a teenager on my way to becoming an adult, and I'm hearing these voices again to just end it all. Like, look, you have money now, you have fame now, you can have whatever and whoever you want, and you're still broken and you're still lost. And then someone invited me to a Christian church, and I knew it was the answer. I don't know how I knew, but inside of my soul, I was crying out to go to a church. It couldn't be the same religious church that I grew up in, because that had gotten me nowhere. And I went to this Christian church, and I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit.
Oh, man. Tell me a little bit about your encounter with the Holy Spirit.
Well, funny thing, because of how I grew up, I had never seen people be charismatic at all.
That can be quite an experience the first time you see it. I did grow up in the charismatic church, and sometimes I'm still like, what are you doing?
Well, for me, I walked in like, these people are nuts. But oddly enough, I was jealous.
Mm.
I had this godly jealousy or something that I wanted to be as free and as open with God as He were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had cried myself to sleep. You know, the shower and my bed were my most charismatic moments up to that point. But I had never been in a religious or a Christian setting that I saw people really be that open, and I became jealous of them. I wanted to be that free. But I wasn't. I was still like, these people are crazy. I kind of had given God an ultimatum. So I went to the church and I said, God, if you don't speak to me, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to leave my family and I'm never going to look back.
Mm.
I'm going to just do whatever it is that I want, and I'm not going to, you know, ever look back. And that's kind of how my attitude was going in. And halfway, or maybe towards the end of the service, the pastor called me up. And I remember I had like a gray hoodie on, and I kind of probably looked like a street kid, you know. I didn't want to be noticed. I didn't want anybody to know me. I was just so broken. I was numb, you know. And I walked up to the altar, and he didn't say anything to me. He just simply walked by me. He placed his hand on my shoulder and just kept moving. But as he prayed for me, when he put his hand on my shoulder, and I'm assuming he prayed, I became overwhelmed with this emotion. I felt this power come over me that I had never felt before. And I fell to my knees and began to weep and weep and weep and weep. And it was absolutely incredible, because understand, I grew up in a spiritual world. But up to that point, I had never even known that there was a such thing as the power of the Holy Spirit until that moment.
Amen.
And I knew it was God, because I had felt other things.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew when it was God, I knew it was God. And I mean, I guess he was just healing me in that moment. then I get up and I go to my seat. I was embarrassed because I had never reacted that way in front of other people, but it was completely normal to everyone else. I sat down and I said, God, that was amazing. And I know that was you, but you didn't speak to me. Mm-hmm. That's why I went to church. I needed the answer. And then I hear God through his Holy Spirit for the first time say, go back home and tell your mother and your brother what you encountered.
Oh, wow.
And it was crazy because I got a ride home, but I could not stop crying. I cried from the moment I fell to my knees till they dropped me. They brought me to the front of my home, and I stayed in the car with them for another 2 hours because I was weeping uncontrollably. I could not stop. And it was just the years of anguish and pain. And I was just letting it out, and I knew it was God healing me. And then I went upstairs, told my mom and my brother, and then that began their journey with God, you know. And from that part, understand, I was already a pop star. So mm-hmm. I wasn't willing to give up my, I didn't even know I had to. I was just like, cool, God is along for my ride now. And then about 2 years after that, or maybe 3 years, or more, because I'm stubborn.
I don't know what that's like at all. I've never said, God, I don't necessarily want to do that.
Yeah, it's funny. So I can't remember. It might have been a couple of years, but now I'm 21. And I had already had this top hit song, and I'm doing all these incredible things. And because I started to fall in love with Jesus so much, I just wanted to talk about him everywhere. I wanted everyone to know, everyone that I encountered, didn't care what your resume said, didn't care how popular you were. I wanted you to know that you can feel God mm-hmm. and that the Holy Spirit was real and he was here and he was willing to work with you on your brokenness. So I became a little mini evangelist. But remember, I wasn't signed for that. Actually, when I was signed, they told me they had signed me to be the bad girl on their label because up to that point, they only had Disney stars, Hilary Duff, Miley Cyrus, Selena Gomez. So I was the bad girl.
And that was before they became the bad girls, right?
Oh, yes, this was before they did, yep. Exactly.
They were still the happy, innocent people.
Exactly. This was even before Rihanna became the bad girl. Up until that point, that was me. But then I became this evangelist. And they're just like, what's going on here? We didn't sign a Christian artist. You know, and even the songs, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Absolutely.
So even the songs that I was writing, you know, they were coming out from a Christian woman's perspective. And eventually they were like, you know what? They just dropped me. No explanation. I understand why they let me go, just thinking about it. They didn't sign a Christian, they signed a bad girl. Mm-hmm. But you couldn't stop me. You know, I was wasting precious studio hours for 4 hours straight just telling somebody, you can feel God. You know, I can pray with you right now and you can have an encounter with God. Like, that was me. I became radical.
I love it so much.
I wanted the world to know this. But yeah, and that's kind of how everything else started. I know my story's long, but...
Oh, we love it. That's why we're here, to talk about where you came from and where you're going.
Basically, from there, I kind of took off. After I lost the deal and everything, I didn't feel compelled to just jump right back in the music industry. I wanted to discover who I was in God. Mm-hmm. And after I lost the deal, and you know how it is, he has to kill all your idols.
Oh, man. Dying to self is the most painful, horrible thing, but it's so worth it. But daggum, while you're in the middle of it.
It's so worth it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, in the middle of it, it's brutal. Mm-hmm. So this is where I was. But it was the first time that I even asked God, what do you want from me? Mm. What are your plans for my life? I was a 21-year-old woman at this point. I had already lived a very old life. Just because of the life that I had to grow up really quickly. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time that I asked God what he wanted. And I took a 3-year hiatus where I just went to church and I discovered everything that I could learn about this God, this person that I was falling deeply in love with. I didn't want any relationships. I didn't want any distractions. I even prayed for God to take away my voice because I was afraid that it was an idol. Yeah. He never took away the voice, and he just continued to pour into me and nourish and love on me. And And, you know, I started to get giftings, you know, hear prophetically from him, dreams, and all these incredible things that I had always been super spiritually in tune because mm-hmm. of the life that I had, but I never knew that I can use them for God or that they were even from God, you know. And then I had some church hurt in between that and all that, so I had to learn quickly the reality of church. Mm-hmm. And because I was super naive going in, I thought church was a very safe place and that I'd never get hurt and that there wouldn't be jealousy in church like there was in the world and all, or competition and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned all these hard lessons. Mm-hmm. but then I met my husband, and once we were married, the Lord told me, I want you to go out and share your story now.
Mm.
So it was kind of like he was waiting for me to get married, and it was probably for my own protection, because even in the Christian world, if you're not married, everyone thinks you're their wife.
Sorry.
I don't come from the Christian side of things, so I usually just speak it like it is.
I love it. Sorry, that really got me. I mean, I don't love the concept of it. I just love the honesty, because, yes, that happens.
It does. And so God knew I needed to be completely covered and secured before he released me again. So then I started to do singing and speaking and sharing my testimony. And that's kind of how I was introduced to TBN. I was a guest on TBN for many, many years as an artist, as a minister, before I was offered my own show.
Mm-hmm.
And then even before I found my voice in the media, because I never thought I would be doing Christian media either. But as you know, once you're a pop star and you have a change of genre and you start doing things for the Lord, the finances are not the same.
Yep. I mean, I've never personally experienced that, but I can imagine.
Oh, man. I mean, yes, it's a very different world when it comes to that. So my finances, obviously, they struggled a lot just making the change, but I didn't care. You know, I knew the truth, and I was rich in the spirit. I didn't need the financial part until I did.
Mm-hmm.
So God was like, okay, dear, time to look for some sustainability, you know. And that's kind of how I got involved in media. The finances were dwindling, and I wanted to continue to do what God had called me to do, but I needed the money to do it. So I was looking for stuff that I was into. I'm like, oh, well, I pretty much went from high school on tour, and then I have this huge career, and any employer that looks at my resume, they're going to laugh. So I was like, God, what am I good at? And I just felt this pull towards media. Mm-hmm. You know, I understand media from the art, from the creative side. And I did, and I wound up getting a job for a Christian media company and started to do media, which is, yeah. You've probably seen my interviews. I'm not sure if you've seen my interviews for that, but you've seen... And then that's kind of how the whole TBN thing happened mm-hmm. as well. So, yeah.
I love it.
It was really hard to condense the story, and it was already long. Sorry.
Oh, no. We are taking it all in. But you did bring up a few things that I want to address.
Yeah.
One, having been raised in the Santeria, am I saying that right?
Mm-hmm.
That, and then coming full circle and being filled with the Holy Spirit, what is the spiritual warfare in your life on a daily basis?
Well, the interesting part is in the beginning, right, it was hardcore
mm-hmm.
because in my life, because I grew up in this culture, and because my family, I was so close to my family, literally there were things all over my house that were prepared, if you will,
mm-hmm.
meaning they were cursed, and to kind of keep me and lure me into this religion.
Mm-hmm.
So upon becoming a Christian and realizing I needed to cut ties with anything that was witchcraft or witchcraft related or was dedicated to another spirit or God or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I literally threw thousands and thousands of dollars of things away in my home. I literally walked through my home. I had to comb through it and made sure that it was all clean, you know, which is the thing I think Christians don't do. Even when they go on trips, they'll buy things in the Caribbean or these islands, and they think it's cute, and they don't realize that they can have things, like spiritual ties and things. So my spirituality, you know, my sensitivity really was heightened, and I had to do a clean sweep of my house and make sure that I got rid of all these things that were given to me. I mean, oh my gosh, from my Sweet 16 crown.
Oh, wow.
That was a gift to me from my relative who was in that. I got rid of it all, you know? So that was one thing. And it was a rough thing because I needed deliverance. Mm-hmm. I had things living in me that were not of God.
Mm-hmm.
And just even growing up in the industry, you know, the things that you open the door to the enemy to it, I needed deliverance. So I actually got prayed for. And I felt a spiritual battle within me, which was very crazy. I had never, one time in my life before that, I had felt that there was a tug back and forth on the inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was during one of those feasts, a spiritual feast that my aunt had thrown on Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying to conjure a spirit into me.
Oh.
They were like,
I haven't heard of that before. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, and they're like chanting over me, a bunch of adults, and I was a teenager.
Oh, wow.
And they're chanting over me, and, you know, I didn't want to. I didn't want to feel it, but, you know, you just do what your family tells you to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then in the midst of that, I felt that stirring inside of me, and I just screamed and I said, get away from me, and I ran out of the house.
Oh, wow.
That was the first time I felt that stirring. The second time I felt that stirring was that day in church years later where the pastor was praying for people to be delivered from things that were not of God. And I went up to the altar and I felt the stirring. And they prayed and they prayed for me, and then I went to my seat and I'm like, it's still in here, pray for me. And it was at that moment that I realized that it was the Holy Spirit years before then that fought for me that day.
Wow. I have chills as you say that. That's incredible.
Yeah. And, yeah, and that night, it was actually that evening, we went back to my house, the pastor, a deacon, my mom, myself, and we got rid of every tie that I had to that religion. And that's kind of like the beginning of how that whole spiritual warfare began. But constantly as you grow as a Christian, you just continue to exercise the truth and knowing that greater is God in you than any demonic spirit or force or curse or anything that's in the world. You know, and knowing that the blood of Jesus, where the blood of Jesus is, the devil has to flee.
Amen.
You know, so I'm very intentional about constantly covering myself like that and my home like that. And, you know, now, I don't even know if you know, but now I'm a pastor's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And we open up our home to people from everywhere to come and hear the gospel and partake and fellowship with us. And we do Bible studies and all that. And even when you do that, you know, you still have to make sure that your home is covered because you don't want, and, you know, people do, they come in with their own things, their own spiritual things. And you just want to make sure that you're sealed and there's no ties to any spiritual kind of things that are not of God. You know?
Absolutely. I actually just moved into a new home the other week, and my fiance and I, we walked through it and we prayed over the complex and the house and just things like that, because you never know what people around you have dealt with. Okay. So we're going to go back a few minutes. We were talking about once you were filled with the Holy Spirit, you began to have prophetic dreams. Can you tell me a little bit more about those?
Well, I think, so I never knew that I can even have a relationship with God, ever. I didn't know that. I always thought God was this person in the sky and was very distant from me.
Mm-hmm.
So as I began to grow in the spiritual, you know, the Lord just started to take me through my life and show me times where he intervened and where he was there and I had no idea. You know, so that was kind of a way of you know, him just telling me, like, hey, I've always been here. And then as I started to pursue him, I would say, Lord, you know, I want time with you. And I would go, I feel like I would go to these special places with God that only he and I could go, and he would just pour into me and fill me. Because remember, for so many years, I tried to fill my void with all these other things. So in this moment of these incredible moments with God, like, he started to fill me with him, and I literally started to see, you know, I felt like he took me all over. It's like I wrote a song on one of my albums after, you know, becoming a Christian. It's called Loved By You. And it's about, it's kind of a song, and it's saying, like, I can dance across the moon with you. I can sail across the deep blue. You know, and that's kind of what my spirituality became with this God, that anything that, you know, any place that I wanted to be, I can go there with him and find this moment of intimacy and love, and just know that he's God. He's the creator of everything. He holds everything in his hands.
Amen.
And he had me. You know, he had me, and he loved me, and he was, you know, just pouring into me, and that's what being loved by God was like. So I started to really, you know, go into my prayer closet and have these moments where I can just feel like I was dancing with God across the moon and beautiful things. And then I started to get dreams where I would dream about things happening, and then they would happen.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, this actually, it still happens. Just this week, I had a dream about a church in New York, and I called them, you know, and just say, hey, I was in spiritual warfare for you. The Lord showed me this, this, and this. I just want you to know that he's with you, and he's fighting for you, and he has people waking up across the country to pray for you, you know, and there was something going on, you know, and so these are the type of things that God will give me, you know, and I'm so grateful for it, and I don't take it for granted at all. But I feel like oftentimes people, I feel like a lot of people are prophetic, or they feel like, oh, I knew that was going to happen, but they don't know what to do when God gives them these things. And my advice would be, if God gives you something, pray.
Just amen.
Pray, because you never know.
That is something I'm learning in my own life, is that I feel like if the Lord is giving me something and I don't know what to do with it, just ask him the next step.
Exactly.
He doesn't have to reveal the whole picture, just what do I need to do next?
Exactly.
So what is, speaking of next, what is next for you right now? What are you doing with your ministry, with your church, with your TV show?
Oh, gosh. I'm always doing so many different things. It's hilarious. Well, as a pastor's wife, our goal now is to just really utilize what we have, you know, access to social media, access to this live feel of media that we can use to reach out to the world. You know, even on Facebook Live, God has taught, he's been like, get on Facebook Live, and I want you to worship. And I'm like, okay, get on Facebook Live, and I want you to pray against depression. Okay. You know, and as I am obedient with doing these things, it's incredible because so many people follow me throughout the years. Many of them are not charismatic Christian people. So they have no idea what worship looks like. They have no idea what true praying for deliverance looks like. They don't know anything. So just me being a voice, even in the digital world, to show them that is helping people, you know, find freedom and even become curious on how they can access that same power. So that's kind of what we've been doing. We've just been utilizing everything that God has given us, whether it's online or here, and just doing that. We want to cultivate, you know, Acts 2 communities. We want that fire that's in us to spread like wildfire, especially where we are in Orlando, because it's very different than New York. But we want that same fire to spread, and we're determined to do that wherever we go. And we travel all over the world, and we do that. So that's what we're doing in the ministry. With the TV show, I'll continue to do what I'm doing, using my platform to help highlight other people and overcome the devil by their testimonies.
Amen. That's how we overcome.
And I was offered a book deal. Ooh. So we're in that.
That's so exciting. So we're many things coming up. I love it. What do you see happening within the charismatic church as a whole right now?
What I see in this generation is I see a generation that is not afraid.
Amen.
To go out and spread the gospel, the unadulterated gospel. That's also not, I think, like in the land, you know, in the past, where people would be just kind of excluded or shunned. I feel this generation is so bold that they're willing to go in the face of these people that might be living an opposite life than we are, to show them this is what God has to offer, and this is why you want it. And I see that happening. I feel like, obviously, we can't compromise, and we have to show the love of Jesus, and that's a fine line.
Absolutely.
But I do feel like God is raising up a generation that's bold enough and loving enough to do it. I see that that's happening. I feel like, I know everyone keeps saying, there's another great awakening, there's a great awakening coming. I feel like we can all cultivate that. And, you know, I think it starts with sacrifice. We have to be willing to get on our face and
that's
our knees
good.
and spend the time. I think time is a big factor here to really, you know, call on God and be willing to just get in that place and that posture where we're available for Him to pour out Himself the way He wants to. But I feel like we all have access to it. I don't feel like it's this wave that's going to come. I feel like it's this thing that we need to activate.
Ooh, that's wonderful to hear, I think, for me, because I am, you know, I'm 28, I'm a millennial, and as a Spirit-filled Christian, I'm like, all right, God, what are you doing through me? What can I do to serve you? And I think the time thing is so important, because so often I'm like, all right, God, what can I do now? And I remind of the verse of strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. And that's just,
amen. And that's,
yeah.
See, that's the secret, please, that we don't, you know, we kind of just, we look at the secret place as this place where we go to find strength for ourselves. But it's in that secret place that we become activated to do really what He's calling us to do. And I think for our generation, that's the hard part.
Absolutely.
Spending that time. But that's where it is.
We like that instant gratification. That Amazon Prime has just ruined us.
It has.
I need my thing, and I need it now. All right, you have actually answered all the questions I have for you. Do you have anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, I know my story is crazy.
We love it.
It takes all these turns, and it's obviously written only by God. But it's not unique in the sense where we all have our stories. And there's pain in all of us. There's a longing in all of us, and Jesus is the answer.
Amen.
You know, and I don't want to sound cliche or whatever, but it's true. When you come from a place where you've had everything you ever thought you wanted and it didn't fulfill, and then you lost everything that you thought you wanted, but you found the greatest thing ever that can fulfill you and sustain you and keep you, you know, you'll never let go. And we've, you know, my husband and I, we've been through the loss of two of our children.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Through miscarriage. We've been married almost 10 years. And, you know, we've served, we've been through church hurt, where we've been so hurt by church people, leaders, and people that you respect. But if you never forget that Jesus is the one. Jesus is the one that sustains. Jesus is the one that fills. Jesus is the one that strengthens. If you never forget that, you'll be able to get through anything and everything. And that's just something I want people to understand. You know, we can't put our stock in anything but Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Not politics, not church, not, you know, life or successes or even family. You know, it has to be Jesus.
Amen.
And let that be your foundation, because when the world cracks around you, you'll always stand if Jesus is your foundation.
I love it. I just have goosebumps, and I feel very convicted right now, but in a good way. And on like a more positive note, although Jesus is positive, so that sounds weird. on a lighthearted note, how's that? Where can our listeners find you on social media?
Well, my website has everything, jeannieo.com.
Excellent.
But Jeannie Ortega, and it's Jeannie with a J, and it's spelled like I dream of Jeannie. Jeannie Ortega. You can find me on Jeannie Ortega. Instagram, Twitter, and Jeannie O Music on Facebook.
I love it. Now, could you actually pray our listeners out?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, God, just for this time where we can share and talk of your goodness, Lord, and how you save and you rescue your people, God. And I thank you for rescuing me, Lord. I know that there are people out there, God, that are listening or that have heard what I've said, Lord, and they've identified with something in their own life, God. So I pray that seed, whatever it is, Lord, that you would water it, Lord, that it would grow, God, and that a stirring in every single one of us, Lord God, with that stirring that we feel, Jesus, would just could begin to cultivate, Lord, what it is that you have for us, the purpose that you have for us in your perfect will to do what it is that we were called to do. Let your Holy Spirit just do the work that it needs to do in our lives, God. We surrender, God. We surrender to you, to your perfect will, to what it is that you're doing. Let us be in step and in walk with what it is that you're doing, God. We're so grateful for you, Lord. I pray that you would bring more and more and more people unto yourself, Lord, so that we could really be the light that you've called us to be in this earth, God. We love you. We worship you. And I give over every one of these listeners to you, and even this incredible interview, all for your glory and your honor, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Charisma News Podcast, one story, well told. To hear more stories, visit us online at charismanews.com or check out the podcast every weekday.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.